Hour number three rolls along here. On day number two of the NHL draft, the Sabres already got busy. They did not make their second round pick. And we'll get more on that here in just a second. But today's coverage of the NHL draft on WGR brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. Once your outlet, by Fiegel, Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys, and by Dash's Market, serving Western New York for over 100 years. Shop the family of finer foods. We'll get more on everything as we go now to Joe Calley for a little bit of an update.
Well, as we all know, is why we're here. Day two of the NHL draft is underway, nearing round three, almost out of round two, just over 10 picks, or just under now. The Sabres made a trade. Connor Clifton, the 39th overall pick, to Pittsburgh for Connor Timmins and Isaac Béliveau. Am I right on that, guys? Yep. Béliveau. In return, John Gibson, the veteran goaltender for the Anaheim Ducks, has been traded to the Detroit Red Wings. Peter Mrazek and draft picks are going to the Ducks in exchange for Gibson. So some moves being made on day two here. And looking at the TV, there's a current trade happening right now. We'll get to that in a minute. Those are your Paddock Chevrolet Sports Updates. Paddock Chevrolet celebrating 90 years of being your hometown dealership.
All right, boys. It has been a very active hour and some change here as the draft got going. A lot of trades have been being made, the Sabres being involved in them. They appear to get bigger defensively. They get out of what appeared to be a very bad contract for Connor Clifton. And I like this so far. I like this. I'm still looking for that top six forward, but now that they've got a ton of defensemen on their roster, I do wonder if that top six forward is coming courtesy of a Bo Byram trade. But we'll get more on this trade as we go to the Wester Hotline. It hasn't been too long since we've talked to him, but Paul Hamilton joins us again. Paul, Sabres got a little active here.
I think what I want to caution everybody is like, don't second round pick. Forget about picks. Who cares?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The Sabres are following through with what they said. They are doing things for today, for this year. Second round pick doesn't fit into this year. And what they've done here, I like what they've done here. And the reason I like it, Connor Clifton's the nicest guy in the world, and he wants to win as bad as anybody. But the fact remains is he turns the puck over too much. He makes too many mistakes. And Lindy Ruff, you know, Lindy Ruff this year does have more say in the shaping of the roster. I think this is my opinion. I think this might have been a trade done for Lindy Ruff to improve your number six defenseman so you're not giving away the puck so much that it winds up in your net. Clifton was a good penalty killer. He would block shots and do things like that, but at the end of the day, you know, he wound up a healthy scratch sometimes because it was just too many turnovers at the wrong time, and there were just egregious turnovers that wound up in the net. And this is a guy who's been around a little bit. I mean, he played with both Pittsburgh and Toronto last year, you know, and so the Sabres are familiar with him. He's 26, I believe. Yeah, 26. He's 6'3", 213, so he's bigger than Clifton. And, you know, the idea was, you know, when we have that pair out there and their number six defenseman, he's got to be better. You know, they can't be turning the puck over and giving points up to guys that aren't – they're not playing against the best players on the other team, yet they're turning the puck over and the puck's winding up in the net. So that's why I like the trade, and I'm ignoring the fact – I don't care what round pick it is. The Sabres don't need picks right now. They need to change the makeup of their team. They need to be harder to play against. And I think they accomplished that by getting Timmins. As far as Béliveau goes, still a kid. But, you know, he played in the East Coast League. Not too many guys who play in the East Coast League wind up in the NHL. I think this might be a trade more for Rochester. And, you know, like a wait and see how he develops. He was like a fifth-round pick. But, you know, I think it's just because, you know, Rochester is still their team. They still have to help them and get players for them too. It's not just a big club, and you know, so those are things that have to happen also. So I think that's where this trade wound up. I do like the fact. I do think they have improved themselves on the right D, and you know, so it needed to be done. But it wouldn't surprise me at all if this was a trade done for Lindy Ruff.
Yeah, Paul, it is a little awkward too. I mean, you know, we're covering the NHL draft, but I think all of us kind of agree after even arguably the first overall pick, it very quickly becomes, okay, we need guys that are going to help today. We'll see how that ultimately continues throughout the day. I do wonder, though, you mentioned that, you know, this kind of maybe being a replacement for the, you know, their sixth defenseman. I'm still now wondering about the Bo Byram trade. What is going to happen there, if that is all going to happen? If it doesn't, I've been saying it, even if Byram's on there and they didn't even trade Timmons, this could really be a calling card for this team, is how good they could be on the blue line.
Yeah, if Byram's traded, then I think it's Samuelson. And near the end of the year, Samuelson looked more like he did when he first got here than he didn't, but there were still games where he struggled. But when he was with Darlene, as most players are when they're with Darlene, it went pretty well. He tends to play okay with Darlene. The problem is he's very inconsistent right now. You don't get a game in and game out from him. I still wonder if he's going to be able to recover in the locker room from the Thompson fiasco. Thompson was not happy about it. He talked about it on a podcast with some St. Louis announcers a couple weeks ago and said he wasn't happy about it. But he also said it's been taken care of. And he goes, we got much better at it after we sat down and talked about it. And he goes, I don't think it's going to happen again. And he goes, I'm totally – but still, you know, Samuelson was the – and, you know, can he recover in the locker room? I don't know if he can. You know, so, you know, that's something to think about also, I feel, when it comes to him. But that's the thing. If he want – we're right back to what I said earlier. Mm-hmm. Hope is not a strategy. Mm-hmm. If he wants to play like he did when he first got in the NHL, he and Darlene are a very good top pair. But will it happen? Will you get that consistency out of him? Or will it be 4 or 5 games really good, then 10 games of, uh-oh, what are you thinking? What are you doing? You know, type of a thing. And so, you know, we'll see where that goes. And I keep saying this, and I know I've said it to you guys too. If they can convince Byram, I would sign him long term and tell him you are Darlene's partner, because that goes very well. You look at the numbers; they're excellent when the two of them are together. Problem is when Byram's with anybody else, they're not excellent.
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, what's the problem? Darlene can play right defense very easily. At least you're telling Byram you're going to be out there in key situations, because you and Darlene are going to be out there together. But you're not going to be on the power play, because that's what Power's going to be doing. So if he's agreeable to that and is willing to stay long term, because it's not that he doesn't like Buffalo or the team or anything like that. That's not it. He just wants to be in the position being the guy, you know, out there. And, you know, I think with Power, Kesselring, Darlene and Byram, I think you got a very good top four then. Then Samuelson's not playing as much and would be on the last pair with Timmons. And you still have Bernard Docker, too, if you want to get rid of Samuelson. So if they can convince him, I would still keep him and just tell him you are Darlene's partner.
Yeah, Paul. I mean, with this move, I think the Sabres have really turned the defensive core into a strength for this team. And a trend and sort of theme I'm sensing a little bit here from the Sabres and the moves that they're making, I think they're trying to pick up a little bit of that Florida Panther vibe of, let's pick up some guys that maybe haven't popped the same way that they were expected to when they were picked. Timmons was a pretty highly drafted prospect, had a lot of potential to be a poppy offensive defenseman. And I think with this trade, same with Kesselring, you're seeing the Sabres take, I don't want to say flyers, because these are already functional, good NHL players, but guys that could smash through their floor where they already are at now. Do you get the sense that they're trying to find value in players that maybe haven't worked out elsewhere, similar to what we've seen with the Florida Panthers and all the guys they've picked up?
Well, they keep trying to get bigger, knowing how the Florida Panthers, what the formula there. And they're also showing us that they understand what they were doing wasn't working, and it has to change. So, they're at least showing us they understand it, they get it, and they have to start doing some things to change it around. And, you know, that's what's happening here. What the finished product will be, well, we'll find out in October. So, we'll see. And again, I'll keep saying it, they should not be done. I mean, there's still more to be done on this hockey team, and it's only June. There's plenty of time to do it. So, I do think they're a better team now than they were before, just by even improving that spot, because you can't have your number six defenseman turning the puck over and having it wind up in your net as much as it was happening.
Paul, this trade was unexpected. I didn't see it coming. I thought they were going to pick at 39. What else do you think they have to do at this point? Do you see them making any other trades in the draft with the picks they have left, moving Byram, or is this going to kind of be a wait-until-free-agency thing? And I guess, to wrap, what do you have more for them to do at this point?
Well, they still need two top forwards. I think they still need to address goaltending. You can't go into the season with two young goaltenders. So, and I think if you find two top six forwards, you're going to help your power play also. So I think those are the things that I think they need to do. And those top six forwards most likely will be more of a veteran type of a player. Even if you could find a way to get Rust, and if you got to wait till after July 1st when he doesn't have the protection of no trade, even though he's older, he's still scoring goals. And he's still a veteran hockey player. I think he'd be perfect for a couple of years for the Buffalo Sabres if they could get their hands on him. So, you know, that's the type of thing we do. I mean, as far as are they going to make any more moves today, you could go into the room right now and ask Kevin Adams that. He can't answer that question. Nobody can answer that question. You don't know who's calling. You don't know, you know, you might have a trade that, well, it looks like they're interested. And all of a sudden at 3:15, the team's interested. You know, so nobody knows, what else they may do today. And as I said, you could walk in and ask Kevin Adams, and he wouldn't be able to tell you.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Paul, we'll let you go here. We'll hopefully be hearing from you for more moves on the Sabres. But if not, the Sabres are going to be picking here, I think, in about 10 picks or so. I think they're up at about 71. So we'll be hearing from you soon either way. Thank you, Paul.
Okay, sounds good.
That was Paul Hamilton there on the Wester Hotline. And again, his reports on WGR brought to you by Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Yes, it is pick number 61 now with Boston, and then the Sabres are up at pick number 71 in the third round. So does that mean we are wrapped up now in the second round? Or we're wrapping it up here at 64.
Yeah, we're really close. We're almost in round three, so... round two's moved along at a pretty good clip so far, and it's been interesting.
I think our only big wait was that early trade.
Yeah, the Philly trade.
That was about it. After that, it's been just nice, cruising along pace.
Sabres trade didn't even take that long. No, that was pretty snappy.
That was quick. They probably had that set up before the Sabres were on the clock.
The Sabres never even hit the on-the-clock thing. They were gone before.
Yeah. Yes.
So, super interesting there from Paul, just hearing where he thinks Timmins will fit in. There is a little bit, just a minor concern, maybe minor, maybe major, about Timmins in terms of his injury history. He does have some concussion history, a couple of knee injuries that cost him some time early in his career. I am almost intrigued more because that, to me, signifies his developmental path ran into some more hiccups, and it just tells me there's a chance he can pop a little more with playing consistently, with not being injured and missing time. You can get more comfortable in the NHL, and he's played, turned it around, been healthy the last couple of years, but early in his career when he was really learning how to play in the league, he was hurt a lot, and that can really stymie a guy's development. And if you can get that back on track, I mean, he was picked in the second round, 32nd overall, just outside the first round.
I would say nowadays he's a first round pick.
Like, he's got pedigree and talent. Mm-hmm. And like I mentioned with Paul, I think we saw a lot of that with Florida. Picking up guys that maybe hadn't quite popped with their team, that were high picks, that maybe didn't work out for whatever reason. Let's see if they can really get on track and do what they were expected to do for us.
Yeah, and like you said, he might have more of an opportunity to pop in Buffalo's system, because Pittsburgh's system really values mobile defensemen. That's just, when you watch their hockey games, they're moving all over the ice. And he fit that pretty well as a top four role. So if he can come in and slot in and help them, that offense, he's that offensive defenseman, as we've said. I think that's huge for the Sabres at this point, trying to get stronger defensively. They're getting bigger. He's not as large as, like, you know, getting bigger would constitute.
He's not
6'6", 230, right. Exactly. Yeah. But he offsets that with his puck-moving ability and playmaking ability, I think.
Also, I haven't been able to mention it yet. He's also very close to Buffalo. He's a native of St. Catharines, Ontario. Mm-hmm. So, you know, one of those nice little, like, hey, you probably liked us when you were younger.
Right.
It's like Alex Tuck.
It's kind of one of those situations.
Similar distance-wise.
Yeah. You probably liked us when you were younger.
Different direction, but similar distance-wise. That's what the pitch to Mitch Marner was, remember?
Yeah.
You know, you're from Toronto. Like, come on. It's only an hour away. You got it.
I am just so curious to see what they do now the rest of the way. There's a lot of defensemen on that roster. I know Paul's mentioned Matias Samuelson, and what's his relationship like in the locker room?
Right.
Is it ever going to be able to be fixed? Mm-hmm. I kind of agree with Paul. I just don't know. That situation has been brought up a lot. Tage Thompson just did an appearance on a podcast.
And this is a while after the fact. It's not like it's gone away. So,
and to be fair, Thompson didn't bring it up. He was asked about it on that podcast. But he didn't sound thrilled about what had gone down.
Right.
And I'll tell you just from experience, playing hockey at pretty high levels. I played in the North American League. I played some prep hockey. I was in OHL, USHL locker rooms. That is not something that goes unnoticed.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that he's ousted or there's some sort of black mark on his file. But it is something that if it's seen as a habit or if it's seen as consistent, then you do get marked as
your problem.
This guy, is he bought into what we're trying to do here?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that's where they're at on Samuelson, but it can be very easy to get there if you have a situation like we saw with the Stephen Nason hit on Tage Thompson and Samuelson saw it. Didn't do anything.
Kind of fully skated away.
It was a bad look. And that's been addressed, right? We've talked about it to no end. It's a one play in the middle of the season on a team that never made the playoffs.
Well, that was the big news for the team at that point, right? Yeah.
So it's been handled internally. You're never sure of how the guys in the room feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
I've had situations where guys have done things like that in our locker room, where the guy's been forgiven almost immediately because you know that's not who he is as a person.
Mm-hmm.
But there's other guys where that kind of thing happens and you're like, that tracks.
And <That's right.
laughs> you don't want to be having that guy in your locker room. You don't want your teammates unsure of if somebody has their back.
Right. In Thompson's credit, he did say they addressed it. And that was not a problem again. In fact, we commented countless times of when they've gotten involved in mm-hmm. bouts with each other, right? When one guy gets hit, they rush to each other. So it got better as the season went on. Then Thompson did acknowledge that. But it's just going to be interesting to see there.
It's always going to be outwardly everything's fine. Mm-hmm. They're never going to say, we're actually all very mad.
Yeah.
We are furious. That's not, he's still here.
His locker's in the janitor's closet.
Right.
Yeah, like he's not with us anymore.
And I'm sure most of those guys on that team like Samuelson a lot and respect him. But that play is a bad look, and it can lead to a bad reputation in the locker room.
It also doesn't help fan-wise. He's never really healthy. And really, since signing that contract, he has not been the same player that ultimately earned that contract.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
When he was first coming up and he didn't play too many games, I mean, that was a big part of the contract. He didn't play too many games, but when he did, he just felt like he was a sound defenseman, bigger guy, worked really well with Darlene Ampower, and it looked good for the future. I mean, I remember when he signed the contract, it was a lot of money at the time. But most Sabres fans, I think, acknowledged or at least hoped and thought
he's gonna live up to it.
Yeah, he's gonna surpass that.
Now it feels like he's robbing the organization.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a big part, and that's where I don't know how that would go over trading him. I know Paul's brought it up too. He doesn't like the idea of even buying him out, because the idea of paying him $700,000 for 10 years. Why would you do that if you can trade him for, let's say, a 7th round pick or something like that?
Right.
I just don't know who's going to take up that contract. That's why I always wind up back at the Byram thing, because I think some teams have convinced themselves, I think wrongly, that he is a very, very high-end top four defenseman.
Well, if you look at his film with Darlene, it shows that you got to kind of sell high on that point. And they're good at selling high. They sold high on Casey Mittelstadt.
To get him. Yeah, to get Byron.
Yes.
Right.
And look at Mittelstadt.
Yeah,
he's already moved on from Colorado.
Right.
Yeah, so, he's kind of an afterthought now.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at, I don't have it right in front of me, but Colorado turned Byron into not a whole lot.
No.
If you look at the return they got for Mittelstadt after trading him away to Boston,
mm-hmm.
they ended up getting worked pretty hard, and now they're rumored to be interested in acquiring Byram back. So, you know, that would be kind of hilarious if they ended up trading him for a few years for not a whole lot and then trading something to go get him back.
That sounds like a not great time. But they do have a cup to
yeah, they're
to hang their hats.
They're doing all right.
They have a trophy case with something in it. Yep. So that does help.
Post-Byram, but.
Post-Byram. You know. 803-0550, the number two call. Going to take a quick timeout here as we are into round three, and the Sabres do pick quite early on in that round. So we'll hopefully come back just as they make that pick. Zach Jones, Joe Calley, Owen Parker, hang with you here on a special edition of Sports Talk Saturday as we cover day number two of the NHL Draft. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Joe Calley, Owen Parker, hanging with you here on day number two of the NHL Draft. The Sabres have not actually picked yet today due to trading away their pick for defenseman Connor Timmins. They also add another, what appears to be AHL defenseman, but in that trade they do send their second-round pick and Connor Clifton to the Pittsburgh Penguins. Now we've got just a few more minutes until the Sabres are back on the clock for 71st overall in the third round. We have Steve Yzerman talking with somebody.
In Palpatine's throne room, by the way.
So they still are operating it.
Mm-hmm.
This is, Oh man, I do miss it a little bit. The pace has been great.
It's
but
been
I,
nice.
But I kind of miss the, we're going to awkwardly drag every prospect into a separate room so they can go talk to their GM, maybe owner and head coach.
Yeah, he might be discussing the John Gibson trade that he just made.
Almost definitely.
They might be. I don't even know if they're interviewing a prospect in there as much as just talking to Stevie Y.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they're just talking to Yzerman.
I'm intrigued to see if they'll do that with Kevin Adams following.
They may not. The Gibson trade, I think, is definitely the bigger larger, one of all of them.
Yeah.
I'd imagine they're just going to do this. I'm almost waiting with. I don't think they're going to trade the third round pick for something. I do think they're going to pick at 71st overall.
Yeah, they're almost on the board right now at the bottom.
But I am waiting like just for something else because, I mean, we talked with Paul. Paul mentioned it, and I think we all agree. They still have room for two top six forwards that they need to maybe go get. I mean, Nikolaj Ehlers is kind of the guy I'm looking for in free agency. All reports are that he's going to test the market, not you know just immediately return to Winnipeg. We'll see if that continues. Ehlers is also a name that was brought up last year. The Sabres want to go get. I think he just didn't trade or he didn't waive his no trade clause or wouldn't like re-sign with him. I think him and Nietzsche's were something like that.
Yeah, similar story there where they both were unwilling to sign extensions.
But I mean, if you do enough moves that maybe can convince somebody like, hey, all right, okay, they might be serious here.
If
you have, I mean, you have quality pieces on the roster. Tage Thompson, Rasmus Dahlin, Owen Power, like those are guys that can convince somebody. Okay, they're not that far off. I can be something here.
Yeah.
You know, even Alex Tuck scored 36 goals.
Yeah, Tuck's a nice player, good veteran guy, respected in the league. They have always been, me and Joe talked about this yesterday morning on the morning show. How far are they truly from being a playoff team, a playoff contender? And I don't know that it's that far away.
Mm-mm.
It's hard to feel that way because of how long it's been and how frustrated we get at times with different aspects of this organization. But their roster in and of itself is a talented roster. It's got good players that want to win. Tage and Dahlin are both really high-level competitors and I would say superstar potential players in the NHL.
I think Dahlin might already be there, and Tage is at the star approaching superstar if he continues.
And if the team gets good,
I think Tage
break right through it. Tage is one of the most entertaining, exciting players in the league as a whole.
When healthy, injuries have kind of riddled him the past few seasons, just
it slowed his season down and stuff like that.
Big time.
I will say, too, with Tage, he is going to be somebody after the early part of the offseason winning gold with the U.S., he is going to be somebody I could very much see starting the season on a heater, trying to get on that Olympic roster for the United States.
I think he's going to be motivated and ready to rock next year because he wants to win, and they need to win. And I think that it's a big time turning point if they don't. And if they do, I think it could be the start of a really good thing. And, you know, this draft, we're obviously, we're doing draft covers. We're talking about them now. It's kind of hard to juxtapose, like have a way to think about both those things together.
Right.
But if you can get to a place where you're able to be functional without the guys you're drafting yesterday and today, and then make good selections here, you set yourself up to be really, really strong for mm-hmm. a long time yep. in this place. Mm-hmm. They've got good young D. They've got good young forwards. And if you can supplement with moves like the Timmons move and a couple of good draft picks here and last year, you're in good shape. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited to see where they go here as we get closer and closer to their 71st overall pick. We're working at pick number 69. Boston's on the clock.
They are on the ticker now.
They're moving. I do have a question, a trade proposal for you guys.
Okay.
And I mentioned the name just off the air to you. I don't know if you looked into him at all, but Victor Arvidsson. He's on the Edmonton Oilers. He's a right winger, left winger. He's a winger. He can go either side. He's a burner. He is fast. Is that kind of something I think the Sabres could really benefit? But also, if they are building this defensive front like they're looking like they're doing with based on the draft pick yesterday and the trade today, I think they're going to move further away from that high-flying, high-octane offense. But a fast winger like that who can really – he probably, I would say – fit next to, you know, McLeod, Norris. He could boost 5-on-5 scoring with his speed alone. They don't really have a speed demon like that. And no matter if you are a more defensive team, I think that could help you out.
Yeah, he's definitely a burner type.
Mm-hmm.
Real, and that would reinforce a strength on this team. I mean, they've added Timmons, who can skate. They've got, obviously, Dahlin can really move. Power can skate. Kesselring can really fly. He was in a really high percentile mm-hmm. in terms of speed burst last year for them. He's super flashy with the puck on his stick. If you add an Arvidsson, that's another guy that's a real high-flying facilitator type of player.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. And, yeah, they I think the real question is whether they can add something significant, a piece or maybe two to that top six to really round out. They could be a really fast.
Yeah.
Fun team next year.
It could go back to how it was 2 years ago with more defense.
Right.
Like, it could be a mix of both. You're not just trying to go to one identity or the other.
Which has been a bit of a struggle that they've and not even saying the J.J. Paterka trade, that zeroing in on one specific need and kind of, you know, damn the other trade offers, we need this guy. I mean, that was a big thing with Byram, that we heard reports there that that teams were unwilling to really negotiate with the Sabres because what the Sabres wanted in return for Byram was that right shot defenseman.
They were too picky about it, and now they've filled that role with now two guys and really opened themselves up to do whatever they want with the Byram move.
It's huge.
We've talked a lot of forward, though, but also Paul mentioned it as well, veteran goalie.
Yeah.
Do we see that kind of being also something that they could add? I mean, that'd be something I've almost been preparing myself. Maybe I shouldn't have, but I've been preparing myself that it is going to be Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen and Devon Levi night number one, and we'll see who starts. But maybe that doesn't have to be the case. They have cleared some cap space. Maybe they're going to be willing to spend. I don't know if you look at the Jack Quinn deal. I mean, he gets $3.3 million per year,
something like that. Yeah,
you know, maybe they're going to be willing to spend bringing a veteran goalie in another trade. I mean, I also could see too. It doesn't have to be draft picks. I'm kind of still waiting to see which of these prospects and how many of them are dealt away. They are becoming depreciated assets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And just to call them, you know, a few seasons ago, the number one prospect pool in the NHL. Like, that was what the Sabres had. They looked to be on the up and up. These prospects are going to come up and play. At this point, get rid of them. You need to sell high at this point. You did the right thing with Savoy. That should be you look to him as an example. You can do that with the others in Rochester easily.
The Ryan McLeod trade has been, I think, wonders for them. He's probably going to be their third, maybe even second line center, depending on minutes.
That's one of Adam's biggest saving graces as the general manager of this team. And the reason this squad, the 13-game slide did happen, but they still were fighting for a spot, granted 1% chance at the end of the season.
Well, I think even that is where fans get frustrated, is that when Adams has done deals, they have not been horrendous.
No.
Yeah. They really haven't been. I know we all kind of really got after him about the J.J. Paterka stuff and the value, but oftentimes the trades have not been bad. They've been pretty good, not great. They haven't really traded for the quote-unquote best player in the deal. I think that'll come with winning. But I've for me with Adams, have just been looking for him knowing when the right time is to strike and to really get aggressive and to really kind of push all the chips in and go, this is it for me. I am making my stamp on this roster. This is what it's going to be. We tried the young kid route. It didn't work. Now we're going this route. and I'm with Owen, and I've said it a lot, I don't think they're that particularly far off. I think they could even be a playoff team if it is Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen and Devin Levi, as long as they add to the forward group.
Right.
And also, I'm not asking for them to trade for two top six forwards. I've looked at Ehlers a lot. He has been a big guy for me. I was always on the Sam Bennett train for how much that dream was truly a dream. I know. I understand. And he has signed his deal with Florida.
But just sign one. But to your point. Like, at that point.
Get after it.
Yeah.
Right. And, yeah, I mean, they've got options and ways to sort of finish up adding to this roster before this offseason's up. Like we've mentioned a bunch today, they've got time to do it. And, you know, we're going to see him, I'm imagining, make a pick here in the next few minutes as we see.
Montreal traded with Boston.
Wow.
Boston traded out of pick 69.
So now Rangers are on the clock at 70. Sabres up next at 71. I got a guy that's still available that I'd really like to see. Tommy Lafreniere.
There we go.
The Kamloops Blazers is a quick, high motor sort of, not quite gritty as much as some of the earlier guys I was talking about in Mertag and some of the other heavier wingers. He's not as aggressive as them, but he's got really good contact balance, good awareness in terms of how to spin off of contact, and he knows how to get to the net. 6 foot, 175, played 68 games for the Blazers this year, 24 goals, 32 assists, 56 points. Not super impressive production-wise, but just played a really solid game to me that projects well into the pro leagues.
All right, so we will see what happens there. Right now, again, the New York Rangers on the clock at 70. Then the Sabres are up at 71. Well, the Sabres
Speaking
are on
of.
The clock now. The pick was just made. The Rangers go with defenseman Sean Barnhill. All right, so we'll see what happens
here.
The Sabres are on the clock. Here we go.
I'm hoping it's quick. I mean, like, everyone else has been pretty darn fast here.
Or if it's taking a while, you know what they're trying to do.
I was going to say, I'm like, if we're here for, like, 2 minutes after they've been on the clock, I'm like, they're trading the pick, baby. Here we go.
Yeah.
Like, that's where I'm at. But
and
we'll
see. Just to continue a theme we saw in the second round, to start off the third round, we got a 6'1", 184, 6'2", 202, 6'4", 6'3", 6'5", 6'6".
Holy shnikes.
Big guys going.
Sounds like the NFL draft.
It's big, heavy players. It's really been a theme through this draft. I noticed it in all my prep for this show. There's a lot of guys ranked really high with big bodies that play mean. And I think that's a result of what we've seen in the success of the Florida Panthers. And even before them, you saw teams like Tampa with big D. Vegas had big, giant, towering defensemen.
Big guys in front of the net. That's what it's been about, I think, a little bit.
It helps. And the Sabres have drafted a guy. They've traded for two in the last week that are 6'3 plus, 200 pounds plus. They're leaning into this trend.
Here we go. The Sabres announcing their pick.
Let's see if I was right about my Lafreniere prediction.
A very special pick coming up. For more on that, we send it down to the Deputy Commissioner, Bill Daly.
Before Buffalo makes their selection, please direct your attention to the screens and meet Greg Manzi from the Junior Sabres.
Yeah, this is fine.
Let's go to Buffalo.
He was excited. One of the best listeners, and this past season he was playing for the Junior Sabres, and he had a really tragic accident during one of the games and became paralyzed. I've always been in contact with his dad, and then when it happened, I reached out to them and checked in and see how Greg was doing and sending me updates, and then the Sabres had a really good idea to bring him in after a game, and a bunch of my teammates and I were able to just hang out with him and bring him to the gym and the locker room and show him around and just create a special experience for someone going through a really hard time in their life. And everyone was coming up, giving him sticks, hanging out with him, chatting with him, asking him how he was doing, how his progress was, and it was an unbelievable night. I'm excited to give Greg a call today. We got a big surprise for him. What's up, Greg? How's it going, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
Not bad, not bad. How's summer been so far?
Pretty good. I'm just still in Buffalo doing PT, rehabbing still, but
nice.
Slowly getting nice weather here.
We wanted to invite you down to the draft experience at One Bills Drive there. We would love it if you could announce a second round selection for us.
Wow, yeah, that'd be awesome.
Excited that you're able to do this. I think it'll be a lot of fun, and it's a cool experience.
It'll be really cool. Get to hang out with, like, the insiders of the Sabres, like what they do throughout the draft process. So it'll be a really cool experience. Thank you.
Oh, of course. Thanks for all the support, and hey, keep it up, all right? And tell your dad I said hi as well.
Okay, appreciate it.
Let's go to Buffalo now for the Sabres selection.
Excited to have Greg Mancy here from the Buffalo Junior Sabres to make our next selection.
With the 71st pick in the 2025 NHL Draft, the Buffalo Sabres are proud to select from Owen Sound, David Bedkowski. Go Sabres.
All right, there you have it. There's the 71st overall selection. Another defenseman. David Bedkowski. 6'5", 221, right shot defenseman.
They're loading up on right shots, and I love it. And we've talked, ad nauseum over the past few years about a lack of right shot defensemen. Yes, these guys won't see the NHL ice for a while, the draft picks, but setting up a good future of right shot defensemen.
Yeah, this is another guy I had some real interest in. He is mean on the ice, this kid.
Oh, yeah?
Like, Mertka has a lot more potential in terms of offensive production. This kid is an agitator. He is violent. He is awesome to watch play. He has real confidence to attack as well. Loves to hit guys in the open ice. He's fun to watch. One of my favorite guys to watch as this draft process went. Sabres wanted to get meaner and tougher. Whenever this kid shows up, they have accomplished that task.
It definitely happens.
From Toronto. Look at that. An hour away. Look at that.
Going the local-ish guy again. Local-ish.
Yeah, so, I mean, it, yeah. We had,
man, I mean, Owen, though, you've been spot on with what the theme has been of this draft. It has been a draft of the big boys. The keyword you've been using there, too, to describe a lot of them, violent.
It is something that has come up for a lot of these guys. They look aggressive, and it looks like kids now are starting to take a little more notice of how teams are needing guys like that, and they're committing themselves to building a game like that. And man, does he ever fit that mold in David Bedkowski?
It did feel like for a little while there, around the Dahlin draft and obviously afterwards, it felt like a lot of defensemen you would just hear is like, oh, I mean, you know, they need work on the defensive game, funny enough, but they're wonderfully skillful. Like, they can just do everything. They're kind of, you know, they end up being these power play quarterbacks, stuff like that. It does seem like that's still a thing, but it does seem to be a little bit, you know, a backtrack of like, okay, we actually need you to be really tough agitators, get the puck back, rather than always dominating the puck, because not everyone can do that. And when you can't do that, it does seem like you're just in a hole. And absolutely. I think teams are now kind of reacting to that, because you saw it a lot in the playoffs as well, where especially Florida was just able to put a chokehold on some teams and just kind of end it.
The final couple games of the Stanley Cup final, Edmonton was in it to start, and then that was that.
That was that. Toronto, especially in the second round, it felt like those last three games just – Florida could just kill them because they could dominate time of possession, and they could just they willed themselves back out of the puck.
They were the Floyd Mayweather of the NHL. They just waited out their opponent and then struck to end it.
Yeah, they're
like, that's essentially what it was.
I love Florida. They're a really fun team to watch.
And
they are really fun.
I think that's why you're seeing so much of this. Like I just mentioned, every single player picked in this round so far, 6 foot or above. There's a real theme here, and I didn't even, I don't think, predict that it was going to be this heavy.
That much.
Heavy, but like, they are really leaning in, and here goes another guy, 6 foot one, 200 pounds, Charlie Trethewey. He's a kid I had some interest in, too. Was actually represented by the same agents I was when I played, so I skated with Trethewey a few times. Fun player to watch. He was with NTDP last year. It's a good pick by Pittsburgh there.
Another big boy, and 17 years old as well, and already at that weight. I mean, man.
They are getting bigger.
Yep. 803-0550, the number two call with the 71st overall selection. The Sabres go defense again, and it's their first selection today. David Bedkowski, 6'5", 221, another big boy added to the pipeline. That does seem to be the theme of the draft for the Sabres, and really for almost everybody, it seems like, drafting these last 2 days. Zach Jones, Joe Calley, Owen Parker, hanging with you here on day number two of the NHL draft. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Joe Cali, Owen Parker hanging with you here on day number two of the NHL Draft. We are flying through round three. Sabres did make that selection at 71st overall. David Bedkowski, another big right shot defenseman, 6'5", 220 pounds. We are waiting to hear David Bedkowski speak with the media, so we'll be carrying that live for you here. But before we do that, I mean, that's been the theme today.
Big boys are coming out to play. That's what's happening.
And even for the Sabres themselves, just in what their additions have been, has been right shot defensemen, big guys.
Right. So what they've got? They've got Kesselring at 6'3 or 6'4. Mm-hmm. They add Timmins, who's 6'2, 6'3. They add Rady Mirka at 6'6". They add Bedkowski, also really big at 6'4", 230 pounds almost.
Oh, man.
There's a theme. And we heard Adams mention it last night. They want to get bigger. They want to get heavier. And again, like we've mentioned a few times today, these are not guys we're going to see quickly with the Sabres, but it's absolutely showing us what they want to become. They want to get a decor of tall, rangy guys. It makes it harder to get through the middle of the ice, longer sticks, longer, bigger gaps. They are absolutely looking to add these type of players, just like the rest of the league. And again, another guy, 6'3", 195, Malti Vas. Just they keep coming, and big, big defensemen.
Mm-hmm. Sabres next up in the fourth round, 103 overall. Going to take a quick time out here. When we come back, we hope to be hearing from newest Sabres prospect, draft pick, however you want to put it, David Bedkowski. We'll be speaking with the media shortly. You're listening to day two coverage of the NHL Draft right here on WGR.